When Columbus sailed west in 1492, he was considered a fool. The earth was thought to be flat. Yet now, according to ancient records, we learn that some writers described a round earth 3,000 years ago. Stay tuned for the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz in the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts that affect you. Listen, our subject for today is the study of the wonders of God's created universe. Those words of the psalmist come to mind in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And then add to that another text in Isaiah 40, verse 20. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created all these things? That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Now, friends, this text teaches us that we ought to look on God's mighty creative power with a lot of reverence. The psalmist also admonishes us to learn to know God better through the study of nature. He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Psalms 19:1-7. Now let's notice briefly some scientific truths in this great passage of Scripture. First of all, notice that what it says about the sun. It declares that the sun moves rapidly, for it speaks of it as a strong man to run a race. And it also indicates that the path of sun motion is circular, for it speaks of the sun's circuit. Now, modern scientific research does confirm that the sun moves very rapidly in a circular path, just as the text indicates. Another interesting feature about this text is its statement that the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, this not only refers to God's moral law, but his physical laws as well. Astronomers tell us that one of the marvelous things about the heavens is their absolute perfect precision and observance of natural law. In the movements of the heavenly bodies, not so much variation of timing as 0.001 of a second in 1,000 years can take place. The moon travels on its circular path through the heavens around this earth every 27 days, 7 hours, 43 minutes, and 11 and a half seconds. There's never any variation from this perfect time cycle. The earth travels around the sun every 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 46 seconds. The earth rotates on its axis every 23 hours, 56 minutes, 4 and 91 one-thousandth seconds. There is perfect precision to the laws of heavenly motion, friends. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, there are many great truths expressed in the Bible that modern astronomy confirms. We think of the statement, for example, made about God in Isaiah 40, verse 22. "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth." Now, some versions say, "the sphere of the earth." Now, when this prophecy was written, most of the world didn't even know the earth was round. They thought the world was flat. When Columbus sailed west from Spain, many people over there in 1492 were terrified because they thought the earth was flat and that Columbus and his men would sail right over the edge of it and drop off. Now, today, every schoolboy knows the earth is round, but hundreds of years before modern science found that out, the Bible stated it in unerring terms in Isaiah 40, verse 22. Let's also notice some remarkable scientific truths found in Job 26 and verses 7 and 13 and 14. "He stretcheth out the north over the empty space and hangeth the earth upon nothing. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways. But how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" Now, first of all, we notice the truth expressed that the earth hangs on nothing. Job spoke of the earth as hurtling through space without any visible support. Many of the ancients believed the earth to be supported by some great giant or by pillars. But Job expressed a great truth when he spoke of God hanging the earth on nothing. It was only 150 years ago that Sir Isaac Newton announced the law of gravitation, by which all heavenly bodies attract one another and hold each other in space by delicate gravitational balance. This is a truth that was thousands of years in advance of its time. In the only portion of the passage we just read, in the last portion of it, it speaks of this world as only being the parts or edges of God's ways, and indicates that there's a great deal more to God's universe than we can understand. And this, too, was far in advance of the ideas of those ancient people. Many of them believed the earth to be the center of the universe. But this statement says it's only a tiny edge piece. Let's notice how true this is. The universe, of course, is of a vast size. Every star that we see in the sky is a mighty blazing sun, like the sun of the daytime, only so far away that they appear much dimmer than our sun. Now, our sun, with its nine planets revolving around it, is traveling on a circuitous path through the sky around the center of a great galaxy, of which it's just a part. Now, this galaxy is a gigantic group of stars in the shape of a stupendous wheel that's slowly turning in the heavens. There are millions of stars in our galaxy, or starry wheel, or island universe, as it's sometimes called. Now, our sun, with this Earth, is just on the outer edge of the giant wheel. When you look up in the sky and see the Milky Way, you're looking edgewise into this great wheel. And the Milky Way itself is composed of millions of stars on the center and opposite edge of this galaxy from our Earth. Now notice, friends, this appalling truth. This giant galaxy, huge as it is only a tiny speck in God's universe. For there are thousands of other such galaxies or island universes, such as each of them containing countless millions of stars. And we're only on the outskirts of our own galaxy. Do you see how magnificently true are the words of Job when he said, "Lo, these are but parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him? But the thunder of his power, who can understand?" The words truly take on new and greater meaning when we read it that way. Jeremiah 32:22 states that the host of heaven cannot be numbered any more than the sand of the sea can be numbered. Men used to think they could actually count the stars. But today, men know that they're utterly innumerable. Every new telescope just brings new stars into view that men didn't know existed before. And with all the vast view we have of the heavens, it's probable that even now we're scarcely scratching the surface of knowledge concerning the size of the universe. Sir James Jeans, a noted astronomer, made the statement, "There are probably as many stars in the sky as there are grains of sand on all the seashores all around the world." Imagine that. Now let's make a quick trip out through the heavens and view some of the wonders of God's universe. First of all, let's go to the sun. The sun is 93 million miles from the Earth, and if we were to travel by automobile in the direction of the sun, it would take us 177 years, traveling day and night at 60 miles an hour. So we'll have to abandon that slow method of travel and imagine that we're going to travel on a beam of light. Now light travels at the dizzying speed of 186,320 miles per second. So in just 8 minutes, we could reach the surface of the sun. We would find that the sun is a gigantic ball of fire, 800,000 miles across. Giant flames leap out from the surface of the sun, sometimes reaching out as far as 300,000 miles. These are called solar prominences, and there are sometimes spots on the face of the sun that look dark in comparison with the rest of the surface. It's not known exactly what these spots are, but some think that they're storms on the sun's surface. And when these spots move across the face of the sun, it sometimes causes great displays of the northern lights here on Earth and causes, incidentally, a lot of static on the radio. Nobody knows exactly why, but it's known that it does happen. The sun is that giant heating plant for the solar system, with its nine planets and their satellites, and also thousands of minor planets called asteroids. Now, if you desire a view of other stars or giant suns in the sky, we'll have to abandon our light beam as transportation because although it travels 186,000 miles per second, that's much too slow for a quick glimpse at the stars. Perhaps if we could ride on angel wings, we could get around rapidly enough because in the ninth chapter of Daniel, it tells about Daniel prayed to God and an angel came to touch him on the shoulder and said he had started his trip from heaven when Daniel began praying only a few minutes before. We don't know just where heaven is, but when we realize that the universe is made up of multitudes of millions of stars gathered into enormous galaxies. Why, heaven must be the great center of it all, friends, and it must be a stupendous distance away, some glorious central planet upon which God's throne is located. Now, if an angel could traverse such vast distances in only a few minutes, that would be the only really efficient means of travel. If we were to go to the very nearest star in the sky, we would find that it's over 4 light-years away. Now, a light-year is the distance that light can travel in a year at its tremendous speed of 186,320 miles per second. And the very nearest star to us is over 4 light-years away. I hope that you got the significance of what I just said. That gives us just a bit of an idea of what breathtaking distances there are out in the universe of God. Now, in Job 38:31, God challenged Job in the long ago with these words, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion?" Now notice here, God indicated that he had bound up the Pleiades constellation into a group. Now, if we were to travel through space to this group of stars, we would truly find that they are a group, moving in the same direction at the same speed and composed of the same materials. Dr. Robert Trumpler of the Lick Observatory in California said this, "Over 25,000 individual measures of the Pleiades stars are now available, and their study led to the important discovery that the whole cluster is moving in a southeasterly direction. The Pleiades stars may thus be compared to a swarm of birds flying together to a distant goal. This leaves no doubt that the Pleiades are not a temporary or accidental conglomeration of stars, but a system in which the stars are bound together by a close kinship." Well, isn't that marvelous, friends, that modern astronomy only confirms what God declared to be so in the book of Job long, long ago? Now, we're going to continue talking about the Pleiades, and also in our next broadcast, we're going to be talking about Arcturus and her sons. This is another group of stars up there that is spoken of in the Scriptures. We're going to discover that some very amazing predictions are made about the movements of certain bodies of those stars in the heavens. And friends, every one of them have been fulfilled exactly as the Bible said they would. And all of the characteristics that are laid down in the Bible may be observed today through the modern telescopes of our astronomers. And yet, of course, back in those days, no one had any of those powerful glasses to look up into the heavens. It was all revealed to the Bible writers through inspiration, and they put down these scientific facts so that men might be convinced that God's Word is truly the inspired counsels of God. Well, we'll have to continue our study of this fascinating subject of astronomy in our next broadcast. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.